Good morning. On, well, according to my Windows 8 tablet, January 13th, 2013, I believe it's actually something like February 7th, 2013. This is Brian Madden, and you're listening to a special edition of Brian and Gabe Live. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. Joining from Omaha is Gabe Knuth. How are you?
Not bad. Better than you. You're using that Windows 8 tablet.
It was raining. I didn't want to bring in my laptop.
Sacrificial tablet.
Here in the studio in San Francisco also is Jack Madden. How are you today, Jack?
I'm good.
And joining us from Mocha 5 is Purnima Padmanabhanisha. I just learned how to pronounce this. Padmanabhan. We know you as Purnima.
That's perfect. Purnima Padmanabhan.
And you are, in my mind, Mocha 5. I don't even know what your job is there. I know as long as I've known Mocha 5, I've known you. So something about products, marketing, I don't know what.
Wiping the floor.
Everything that's needed.
Coffee, making coffee, everything. Yeah. Yes, products. Yeah. Definitely products, marketing, core strategy is what I've been driving there. Yeah.
Jesus Garcia from Intel may or may not join us today. He's on the agenda, but we don't see him. So we've got a little blank chair and a blank microphone ready for him. But so this is one of these sort of special edition Brian and Gabe Lives, where this is a sponsored show by Mocha 5, so thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And we just want to kind of dig into the products. I mean, Mocha 5 has been in our space for a long time, in our space being sort of the desktop virtualization space. And we've got Jack in the room who's focusing on a lot of enterprise mobility management consumerization, because I think Mocha 5 is one of these companies that is kind of pivoting from, I'll call it like a traditional desktop management company into, what do you want to call it, like the new age kind of devices, consumerization, data flowing. So I'm just kind of curious. I want to get into all that, but let's dig into the history a little bit. Mocha 5. I know Mocha 5 is client hypervisors and PC management, right? That's sort of Mocha 5's legacy.
I guess that is the legacy, but the interesting thing is when it was founded almost 6-7 years ago by Monica Lam, a professor from Stanford and a 4 PhD students, of course, John Whaley, you know him very well.
Yeah.
The vision was to fundamentally transform end-user computing, not just PCs. Anything, it's PCs, tablets, phones, and in its first incarnation, right, where the first problem was to just say, okay, how do you address the problem of providing a secure experience on these PCs while truly enabling freedom for the users?
And so that was, because the initial product of Mocha 5, it was like a VM-based sort of managed Windows PC that is delivered down to users either via a USB stick or across the web download or something like that. And then users could run that secure managed environment on their Windows laptop or their Mac or wherever.
And that is our core product, yes. You just bubble wrap your corporate environment using a VM, and then you can drop that VM anywhere. Whether it's a corporate desktop or a personal machine, whether it's a Mac or a PC. And if it's a corporate owned, you can even drop it directly onto the bare metal.
And all this, and Mocha 5 is not in the hypervisor business. You're sort of in the management and delivery business, right?
You are absolutely right. So for us, it was you pick your hardware, you pick your OS, you pick your hypervisor to some extent. You pick your poison. We'll be there to manage it. So we are about providing that security and the management capability for IT, but also enabling IT to provide users the freedom to work anywhere, anytime, on any device.
So the first time that I heard of Mocha 5, or met Mocha 5 in person was, it was December 2008. I remember this because we were on the roadshow. TechTarget had just bought Brian Madden Company.
Well, I remember, yes.
And I was with our publisher, John Brown, and he and I, you were our last meeting before we headed back to our ugly sweater party, and we had our stop. We had got to your meeting a little bit early, so we went to the local Goodwill and bought our ugly sweaters for the party. And did not tell you that we were going to an ugly sweater party, so we did the whole meeting.
Exactly.
And I had learned, by the way, the secret to ugly sweater parties is to shop in the ladies' department. So I had something had like flowing.
Pretty atrocious.
Hair. Yeah.
The buttons are on the wrong side.
And so we met up in the Mojito conference room.
That's right. Aptly named for the color and attitude. But, you know, because I don't think you were shipping products at that point, were you? It was brand new?
2008, it was relatively brand new. We were shipping a product, but this is now going back in time. Our first product was actually a SaaS product. Again, it's exactly the same thing. We had a hosted model, and then we were delivering these virtual desktops to any endpoint from a hosted environment. But as we started talking to our customers, it had become very clear that a lot of enterprises want that flexibility, but they wanted it within their firewall. So we were in the process of changing gears and building an enterprise class management product.
And one of the things I remember sort of at that time thinking, this sounds really cool. I mean, good luck. I hope people buy it. That was 4 years ago, so you're still here as a company. So I assume people...
At least some people have bought it.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I wouldn't say it has been an easy ride by, but at the same time, I think the markets have really aligned in our direction. The idea of mobility, which, of course, Jack, you're working on, has really caught on, and that has helped us a lot. So this notion of saying that truly device doesn't matter in an enterprise, and what you care about is really your data and apps. And Mocha 5 lets you bubble wrap it, albeit using virtualization, into one package, encrypt it, secure it, manage it, and then drop it anywhere. And that is actually a concept that it's very interesting that now a lot of people have started talking about it, but we were kind of right ahead at the head of the curve there.
And because the original sort of bubble wrapping that you had was, I mean, it was four devices with keyboards and mice because you're delivering a Windows package.
That is exactly
right. And I know you're getting beyond that, and I want to get to that, but still focusing on the Windows aspect. So your customers today, let's still look at that. I mean, what are types of environments where or typical kind of use cases, like where the Windows-based product is, right? Because it's not VDI.
Yes.
It's running on the machine. It's running on the user's endpoint. But are they using it for like BYO-type environments, or are they using it for just better ways to manage corporate environments, or is it purely... You want to use Mac in the enterprise, and it's like since VMware Ace is dead, this is coming along and picking up that. What is the?
It's all of those, but let me maybe give you some real world examples. So BYO definitely is a big use case, and often BYO and Mac are used interchangeably. Whether you know it's whether the corporation pays for it or not is immaterial, but you have a Windows environment, you want to extend it out to all these other cool devices, whether it is these new Windows 8 Ultrabooks, you've got your Macs in your environment, you've got your personally owned devices. And Mocha 5 is very easy for that. You simply take your existing golden image, your corporate Windows 7 image, you put it in Mocha 5, we wrap it up using virtualization technology, VMware's hypervisors, what we use, but we also can use other hypervisors. And once you have wrapped it up, now through the wire or through a USB key, you can drop it onto any device. And where we really made it very easy is the device that I'm talking about doesn't have to be within the firewall of the corporation. I could be out in Omaha, not in nowhere near my corporation, talking about some people here. And I could actually deliver a full Windows environment that is truly domain joined and completely secured. And that was what was unthinkable earlier on, and it was a hard problem to solve. And so when you start talking about use cases, BYO is one use case, Mac in the enterprise. The other use case where we have had phenomenal success is contractors. Contractors come and go. Most of the times, I mean, this is a large firm that we are working with, 18,000 contractors. So, but it's peak capacity. Contractors sometimes are at 12,000, sometimes they grow to 18,000. And they were provisioning, deprovisioning assets. They looked at VDI. Building capacity for 18,000 was prohibited. Can you imagine that?
Probably no VDI environments in the world that are that big, really.
Exactly. And then you say, okay, I need all that sunk cost. How do I actually make it so that the P&L can really work for the contractors? So this company just went with Mocha 5. Now a contractor shows up, brings their own machine. They get put on the guest network, squirt down a Mocha 5 Live PC, which is our virtual desktop environment. Then 3 months or 3 years later when they leave, click a button.
And it's got self-destruct and decryption, all that stuff.
Self-destruct. Yeah. So when the contractor gets into the guest wireless, this encrypted, absolutely secure bubble is dropped onto their desktop. They VPN from that bubble, get full access to corporate environment. 3 months later when they leave, click a button, and the whole bubble is wiped. Now, they walk away with their machine intact, right, as is.
Yeah. And tonight we're joined by Jesus Garcia, so...
Good morning. There was horrendous traffic
from Folsom. Dude, that's cool. You can also blame Muni in San Francisco because that's the automatic excuse that, you know, our public transit here is while we are supposedly a transit-first city, the public transit is very unreliable. So the excuse, it was Muni's fault. Yeah. That's always – that will get you out of any
– blame it on the rain too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm blaming my horrendous day on the rain because I'm using this this Lenovo ThinkPad tablet 2 because I didn't want to bring my actual laptop in the rain. And this thing is not user-friendly at all. Not Intel's fault, though. It's peppy. but slowness is my only non-complaint about this. It's the only thing I'm not complaining about.
Yeah, it's not sluggish, is it?
Yeah, it is not. Yeah. The Permanium, you know, so the BYO thing is interesting to me because I've always viewed, and I say this in the shows, that I believe that Mocha 5 has the only sort of true BYO solution for Windows desktops that is not using a data center hosted desktop, right?
That's right.
And when I say this in the show, I'm almost angry about the fact there's only one vendor who has this.
Happy for you.
Yeah, because I feel like it's going to sound like a scam. It's the same thing with app refactoring. Like Framehawk is awesome. I don't know anyone else besides Framehawk that does what they do. And you know, Jesus, of course, you've and Intel have worked closely with other sort of client-based solutions like Wenova, like RingCube, you know, Citrix Zen Client, these kinds of things. But those are not, you know, those either require that Windows is already down on the endpoint or they require they've got a certain hardware compatibility list. And to me, when you mention, I mean, Mac BYO contractor, that's kind of all the same thing, the concept that, you know, you want a solution that's going to work with anyone. Like, I don't want to have to say, here's the HCL or here's a laptop that I can give you, or as long as you've got this version of Windows and all these service packs, then I can put the layer on. Those solutions have their uses, but BYO is not it. Like, if I want real BYO, I'm saying, like the late-night car salesman, push it, pull it, drag it, tow it, bring it in the door, and it's going to work. And I feel like, to me, that's the value of Mocha 5 on the client side, because you don't need to build all the VDI crazy huge back end with shitty graphics and everything.
And more importantly, I can shut the laptop lid, walk off. And when I open it up and I don't have a network connection, I'm productive. So there was one other use case that I didn't mention, which is, for a lack of a better term, I'm going to call simplified desktop management. And so, you know, while we have our Type 2 offering, we also have a bare metal client. And we, over the last year, I mean, it's a relatively new addition compared to the rest of our stack. But over the last year, we have seen a phenomenal uptick in bare metal. You saw our press release with Lenovo Services China. They are using Mocha 5 as the sole IDV solution. And so the nice thing is they can go into an environment and say, look, it doesn't matter what is the endpoint, whether it's corporate-owned or personally owned. You define your golden image once. On your corporate-owned endpoints, drop Mocha 5 directly on the hardware. On your personally owned machines, just use the Type 2 and drop it there.
And so so from the Mocha 5 image, it's the same image for whether it's the Type 2 or the bare metal.
That is correct. That's the beauty of it.
We had there was a big argument at Briform a few years ago around, is Mocha 5 bare metal real Type 1 or not? I was on the side of John Whaley.
Yes.
To say, who the hell cares? Like, it's a disk. So, yeah, like whether it's actually the hypervisor is your root kernel or whether it's a Linux type thing that's running, I don't even know
what
you use, VirtualBox.
Exactly.
It's all hidden from the user. I mean, yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
My question, though, is more around so I've always been afraid of client hypervisors because it seemed like, yeah, is that your fan going crazy, Jack? It is not the fan on my new Intel Atom Z2760 Lenovo ThinkPad
no fan there,
tablet 2, because this thing has no fan and it's quiet because it's not doing anything. I've always been nervous about Type 1 hypervisors on laptops because I get nervous about, not just hardware compatibility, but does everything work? Like, my laptop has all these, you know, like multi-gesture trackpads and the advanced power management and all that kind of stuff. So whether Mocha 5 is a quote-unquote true Type 1 or Type 2 called bare metal is irrelevant to me. If I'm using the solution that Mocha 5 calls bare metal, is that a narrower hardware list? Is that some functionality supported and some not supported? Like, where does the customer decide to use bare metal versus the sort of traditional Mocha 5 Type 2?
I think number one place, the way you think about it is, do you own the device or not? Mm-hmm. And more our pitch to CIOs is, look, you are getting into hardware divestiture. You're already moving all your data center to the cloud. There is no need to own the endpoints.
Hardware divestiture means that the CIO is getting rid of
hardware, because hardware is really not a core part of their business.
Yeah,
they can get hardware cheap from anywhere.
Yeah.
It breaks. You have to maintain it. You have to keep a staff for it. Now, with the cloud becoming popular and people getting more comfortable with the security, you're already moving a lot of compute there. Why not the same thing with your devices, end devices?
This is a perfect example of something that I would say that sounds awesome and is not based in reality. Like, so my question to you is, and I don't know if this is true or not. Like, are there actual CIOs who are legitimately like, we're going to get out of the hardware business for buying, you know, devices for our users?
So I think that is a trend. If it was 4 years ago, if I had said this, it would look completely, it would be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we know cloud has changed so much in the four years. My legacy is loud cloud in 2000.
Oh, yeah?
Cloud before cloud. Utility computing, things on a tap.
Yeah.
You know, that nobody was ready for it, right?
Yeah.
And but albeit very good
Our
technology.
DSL is make it tough, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So 4 years ago, it would have sounded odd. But look at it now. I mean, so many people are moving things to cloud. And when I go to customers, one of the things they ask is, do you have a SaaS story? Do you have a cloud story?
Hang on a second. Jack, you have a – rotate your microphone like 45 degrees that way, because that one's a side address, and now it'll not address your keyboard.
Well, that answers that question.
Oh, and stop making all those construction sounds too.
Yeah, so our neighbors in this building are being traded, right? So we have this new suite next door is under construction. We're going to have to change the name of our Wi-Fi, because I was always – speaking of BYO Jesus, before I got here, we were bitching about this tablet because I couldn't get on the Wi-Fi in the office. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is. But so it's, you know, I don't know. We got corporate WPA, whatever, and you need your domain credentials and everything. But we've got Ethernet connections going all around the office. So we just grabbed one of the Linksys routers we had sitting on the shelf, plugged it in, and named the SSID Wells Fargo, because they are, you know, like in the next
Neighbor.
Suite. And like, who's going to know, despite the fact that I'm... We'll edit this out later. I mean, but you know, so like, and there's an SSID called Wells Fargo that just has like very basic, access to the network, which is, by the way, why I believe.
We didn't have to change it then. Now we have to change it for sure.
Yeah, because with whoever moves in here next, you know, so now we're kind of making the lives of two IT professionals difficult, not just our guy who is seeing these devices on, but these neighbors who are like, where the F is that access point? That's they're going to have to bring in their, like, you know, ecto meters and stuff to figure out where this thing's coming from. But that's a good example, though. It's like this whole world of, you know, IT can't – like, clearly we're going past the point where IT is able to control what devices the users use. So now I guess that's to the point you're about to say, I was like, why
Who
even
cares?
Bother?
Yeah. Who cares? And, in fact, talking about network, I was just last week – meeting customers in New York and other places. And this notion of inverting the network is coming up.
Which means
that today most of these, most of the network is in the, inside, it's inside the firewall. And most of your capacity for the network is inside the firewall. But imagine all the jacks that you go and see in an office, let us say they were outside the firewall. You could connect to any, and you've got the capacity there. And then you put only your data center servers or very critical servers behind. And that makes it very easy to say, okay, whatever device, plug in. And then when you want to get into corporate assets, use a VPN.
Let me ask you, okay, what you just described.
That sounds, you could see me getting excited about that, because that's been part of our consumerization spiel for like a year and a half now.
Yeah, that you should make your networks wide open and not try and manage devices at all. I mean, maybe you put a very basic password on so you don't have people like sitting in the parking lot in their cars looking at pornography or whatever. But, you know, have a very basic, let all devices on. And then that's kind of nice, because that way when users access the business resources from the office or from home or from Starbucks, it's all the same.
And you put the right protection. You've got the right mindset around it. And this is something that, I mean, Jack, for you, you'll be happy. A lot of customers are truly thinking about this. Because they are just it's not trying to add resources, but they're repurposing the same resources, but applying and the segmentation differently between what is in and what is out.
I wonder if, Justin, can you go, like, Well, these construction people next door, they told us that we can tell them if it gets too loud, but... Yeah, all right. Maybe because that's the problem. We can't tell the construction workers because who are we? We have to go down to the building office and they have... All right.
So I think, Brian, one question. So the last use case was, again, simplified desktop management, which we kind of were talking about. And that tends to be the bare metal use case. And bare metal, I wouldn't use it everywhere. Back to your question, where do you use it? Number one, you decide, is it a corporate or a personal asset?
Mm-hmm.
If it's personal asset, yeah. Forget it.
Right. Don't even bother. Right. You don't want to try to be bare metal there and that's get in their right. business and everything.
That's
yeah.
right. Now, even with a corporate asset, in BYO is a very common term, but I'm also hearing PYO, pick your own type of thing, where it's a corporate asset, but the organization is giving freedom to the employee to choose from maybe a menu of options. It could be even a storefront that they offer. And even in that case, a lot of times they are trying to separate admin rights. So they're saying, okay, you pick your own. On the host, I'll let you play a little bit. But then when you get into my corporate bubble, you are in my world. You have a huge Active Directory authentication. Your admin rights are not there. It's completely hardened and all that stuff. Again, there, type 2 is beautiful. Now, the third use case is I have got workers, maybe my admin workers. They have got a desktop sitting right there. Why would you need to have two operating systems? You simply slap the Mocha 5 bare metal right there, and that is a beautiful use case for that. So we ask our customers to first segment the users and then decide where to use the type 1 and type 2.
And again, the key is that the actual image itself, if you wanted to use the same image, like the drivers, all that kind of stuff, that's all the same regardless.
So exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I could have five people, one working from home on a Mac, the other one on my corporate laptop, the third one on a corporate desktop, same Windows 7 image. When Patch Tuesday happens, I update that one golden image and everybody gets the same updates.
Now, so I'm not a believer in the golden image. And so if I want to use what Mocha 5 offers in a non-golden image world, are customers using that? Is that a thing? Or are people going to golden image at the same time they're going to Mocha 5?
Maybe you should – a question back to you. What do you mean when you say you're not a believer in golden image?
Did you step into it now? Okay, so let's see how much –
Start the clock.
All right. I'll try and do less than 2 minutes on this. It's all in the book, The VDI Delusion by Brian Madden, Gabe Knuth, and Jack Madden. But the short version is that the golden image requires that all your applications are virtualized or they're all installed into the root image. And it requires that all your user environment is virtualized with like an AppSense or RES or one of these kinds of things. And if you allow users to install their own applications, then when you like refresh the gold image, whatever applications they've installed themselves are gone. So the only way that you can use a gold image that you're refreshing occasionally is if you're not allowing users to do their own installed apps, and if you know, which means you can't give them admin rights, and you know all the software has to be either pre-installed or else virtualized with like an AppV. Everything that you do for user customization has to be an AppSense or those kinds of things. So there's so many restrictions on that, and that's not the way the computing works today. So now there are some environments that do have these lockdown, but for a lot of people, you know, their users have kind of full control of whatever they're doing. So for me, I say if you want a gold – now, I'm fine, by the way, if you want to use a gold image for corporate, maybe this is where you come in. Like, so if I'm using like a type 2 environment, so I say give the user admin rights on their host. They can do whatever they want. They can install whatever they want. It persists. If it breaks, we don't really support it. We'll refresh it for them. That's it. And then let them have their corporate image that I can deliver either via VDI or type 2 via Mocha 5 or whatever. And that corporate image is locked down. That's when the one that gets in the VPN. That's the one that's domain joined. That's the one that's completely protected.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
So actually, I agree with your definition 200%.
Well, thank you.
Wow, that rarely happens.
But here, and because 99.99% of my customer base do not have a single golden image in the way you described it. And that is where our secret sauce comes in. So you've talked to us before. We have this concept called layering. And that is what allows us to have best of both worlds. So our prescriptive suggestion to customers is, create a golden image that's kind of a common denominator image. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have all the user-specific or departmental apps, but you create a golden image that is, let us say, most places it is your security software, antivirus, your Microsoft Office stack, right? And maybe a few standard corporate applications. And that becomes your golden image.
Yeah.
Deploy to everybody because everybody gets the common base. Then you layer on departmental apps. Now, layering on departmental apps, if you didn't have our solution, it would have to be with a virtualization technology like an AppV. But we are saying, we go into a customer and say, hey, you've got SCCM, you've got these MSI packages that you've built over the last 10 years, no problem. Just use that technology to deploy the applications on top of the golden image. And what Mocha 5 does dynamically at the endpoint is it'll separate any apps that are delivered on top of the golden image into a distinct layer. And that we call as user-specific layer of applications.
Didn't you make that technology available to license to other vendors if they wanted to build the layering into their own products? Or you broke out the layering technology into its own product or something like that?
That is right. Layering is available. We didn't want to do, say, a Unidesk or Onova just as a separate layering solution because layering is a core competency of Mocha 5. Mm-hmm. But we have, in case there is a VDI, in context of a VDI type of situation also, it's very valuable. Layering can be used in context of that. So what happens is...
Because I think the ultimate idea would be that if you had these Mocha 5 layers, I can deploy those layers to client machines, whether it's bare metal, whether it's Mocha 5 bare metal, whether it's physical bare metal, whether it's Mocha 5 Type 2, or my VDI environments,
that's
right?
Exactly right. So the layer is truly independent of the container.
What's that, Gabe?
It's vWorkspace that's actually doing that right now, isn't it? Isn't that the main licensor of the layering technology?
Yeah, vWorkspace, our agreement is also more than just layering. It's the they are reselling, and it's are the offline solution for vWorkspace VDI.
Is that still in place? Sorry to cut you off, but like now that vWorkspace is Dell, is that all like they're all saying things moving forward looks fine? Like, I don't know how long that agreement is, but it is.
They renewed the agreement, so we in fact did a press release. So Dell actually is continuing with Mocha 5. So I'm really excited about that.
We definitely saw that press release. thanks for telling us.
So that is definitely in continuation. So what happens is then you are creating a common baseline of a golden image, and then you create customizations on a departmental or on a per-user basis. And the customizations can be delivered through SCCM, through AppV, ThinApp, ZenApp, whatever you choose. And then the third layer is we also separate the user's data and user's documents. So now the nice thing about the Mocha 5 container is, let us say something goes horribly wrong. I install an app and that app destroys my container. Pretty much any other technology, whether it's VDI or whether it's physical or not, you're dead. At that point, you probably reprovision the container or you reprovision your physical machine and then you layer back on the data. With Mocha 5, because the golden image is a read-only copy and the applications are separated from the data, I can click a button called Rejuvenate right at the endpoint as an end user. And the golden image is put back to the read-only state. User data is layered on, and I'm back up and running.
And you're not doing any what I'll call sort of like virtualization within your layers. It's just making sure all the right components are going in the right layer.
Very, very important distinction. Yes. No isolation.
Or conflicts. I'm sorry. This is actually kind of hard because there's a good conversation going there, and I have things I got to get in. sorry for interrupting. But so how are conflicts handled? So if I want to push out, if I have Acrobat reader, some version, you know, recent in my corporate image, but then a user installs a newer one in their image, how are those conflicts resolved?
So there are two concepts around conflicts, right? One is, as Brian very correctly put in, we don't do isolation. So we are not virtualizing. We are compositing. Right. And so if you're talking about, hey, I'm deploying an app and there's a DLL conflict with my OS, that is something that there are hundreds of technologies that packaging technologies that take care of. The second one is you're talking about, let us say, a base image gets updated and then user installs something. We have actually got an XML policy that ships with Mocha 5. And in general, anything that the user does takes precedence over what is in the OS. But that can be changed and modified by the admin. And it is the same mechanism that is also used to manage misbehaved apps. Still, there are some of those that decide to put their data in program files, you can automatically redirect that information into user data layer. And so the nice thing is, let us say I go drop my Mocha 5, my Mac, in a pond. I just go to, I know, I don't go to Fry's. I go to the Apple store, buy a new Mac. I click on an HTML link. The live PC comes down. My data that is actually backed up using our trickle-back technology also comes down, and I'm up and running. Really, there is zero IT interference needed.
And that's maybe a good segue because we're right at 10:30. I have ad copy to read. Let's do that. Let's see. This little ThinkPad thingy has this little red nub, like the old ThinkPad nubs back in the day, but this nub has a little trackpad sensor in it. So you're supposed to rub your finger across the nub, but every time I let go, the cursor goes flying. Here we go. Hey, so as I said at the top of the hour, this is a sponsored show. So today's show is sponsored by Mocha 5 and by Intel. We'll talk about Intel, by the way, because I think Intel and vPro and all this kind of stuff ties into everything. Mocha 5 has solutions for all types of personal devices in the enterprise, including iOS devices and Macs. Also, we'll talk about in the second half. So if you're trying to figure out how to deal with data on iPads, personal laptops, and secure data sharing, check them out at mocha5.com. That's mokafive.com. And now back to our podcast. And Justin, can you call these guys again? You mentioned this trickle-back technology, and this is sort of the idea that when Mocha 5 was dealing with live, had these live images, and you're putting Type 2 images on these laptops, and then it's sort of continuously backing up, right? So the users, if they lost it, I guess depending on when the backup was, they always had their files or whatever, the latest, they could always just get the new image and all the data and everything was there.
Right.
Is that sort of the basis for, because you now have newer products that do iOS, like data sharing, like my documents kind of back and forth. Like, talk about.
That's a very good point. Yes, that is kind of the basis for everything, putting everything together. So what we are talking now about is truly delivering the notion of a secure corporate experience on any device. And the reason I choose experience and not desktop is you don't necessarily want desktop on everything.
Thank you. I do not want a desktop on my iPad, right?
That's correct. So what you want on an iPad or on a phone is very different from, say, what you want on your full-fledged desktop that has a keyboard. And so that is why we use this notion of secure corporate experience. And so when you start thinking about, okay, forget about virtualization, desktops, iPads, everything, and start saying, okay, what is it that I need the most in a company? I need access to intellectual property. And that is what's the number one thing. Nothing else matters. But the problem is data by itself cannot be served up. You need applications to read the data and interpret the data. So at the core, our concept is imagine I can put a bubble wrap around the apps and data that matter, your corporate apps and your corporate data, and then I can drop it on any device. Now, the bubble itself can change based on the type of device, but the data and the app functionality is still the same. So on a desktop, the bubble wrap is essentially the entire virtual machine because I want full access to the applications and to the documents. Now, on an iPad or on a phone or on a tablet, you don't want that. So the bubble wrap essentially is all your corporate data, right, and access to some critical apps. And that is what we are doing for our mobile solution. Our container, our Mocha 5 application, essentially creates a secure encrypted container, for example, on an iPad type or an iPhone type of device. And that data is automatically synchronized from multiple sources within the corporation. See, your data doesn't live in one place. You have data on your desktop. You have data in Windows File Share. You have data in SharePoint. And you may have now data in some of these cloud sources. And to say that you have to go and consolidate all your corporate data in one singular cloud source just so that you have access to it is not feasible for most organizations. So what our container on a mobile device does is it gives you secure access to all your corporate data sources, a single pane of glass. So when I click on my Mocha 5 app, if it's connected to the corporation, now I have access to my desktop, data from my desktop, which is backed up, data from my Windows File Share, data from maybe my S3 account, and data from my SharePoint, all in one place.
And so it's interesting you mentioned S3 and SharePoint and these others, because in some ways, I mean, a lot of people describe this like, okay, so it's like a corporate Dropbox kind of, but it is sort of pulling from all these different data sources. So it's not just one bucket per user.
That is correct.
And I guess it makes sense also that you have, like I said, this Mocha 5 sort of trickle back technologies existed for a long time. So all the mechanism for sort of identifying changes and compressing and transmitting across the wire, you've had that for 5 years. And now it's just, oh, now we have all this back in our store, like back in the Mocha 5 database or wherever the corporation has. Why not make a client that can access this via web, via iOS, via Android?
That is right. And make it available across all types of devices. And where it starts diverging from, let us say, corporate Dropbox. Mm-hmm. It's a very good analogy because it's something that people can wrap their heads around very fast. Yeah. But it is the concept goes beyond that. Now that I have this secure bubble on my iPad that is talking to my corporation, it is doing the authentication and the negotiation, now I can access more than just data. I've got data from multiple sources, but we also have built in a secure web browser within the container. So if I have a terminal services app that is running in my data center, or if I have a wiki page that I need to access, now I can, from the same container, without using a device-level VPN, I can use the same application to access any of those corporate resources also.
Now, how does that actually work? Is that going through, does your Mocha 5 solution act as a VPN? Like, is there some component, is it like a virtual appliance or something I install behind DMZ. My firewall?
Okay, yes. So that's my there is a standard component that we have, which is a Mocha 5 app gateway.
Oh, because I guess, right, because all the synchronization has to go through there, of course.
Exactly.
So it's just extending, if you're just synchronizing data, bits of files, why not have HTTP requests go through there too?
That is exactly right.
Is that secure tunnel the only one, is that secure container the only one with access to that tunnel to the network?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And so the nice thing is now I have an app on my iPad that gives me, first of all, access to the most important stuff. And by the way, the stuff can exist everywhere. So for example, just internally, I use a Windows file share from all the sales and marketing materials. It gets synced down to everybody. Nobody can modify it, but it's a great way to share the latest materials, right? So we are seeing some interesting use cases crop up. One is actually a company that is using us for their board members. These guys are not employees. They show up. Financial documents have to be shared with them. What do you do? And so rather than putting it in a cloud, they just drop it into a server, just say download Mocha 5. Now when the board meeting is done, they can wipe the documents, or they can even wipe the container as a whole.
So when I go to the iOS app store, I type in Mocha 5, and there is an app which is your data client.
Exactly.
as well. It's got that web browser that can kind of route through my VPN.
Right. That is right. So you simply download the Mocha 5 client. If you have Mocha 5 set up in your environment, you type the management server name, and if you're provisioned, you will get access to the information. And the client is really more than just data container, right? This is where the divergence. Our whole idea is this will be the bubble that will be your secure corporate space for you to act. And so today what we do is you have got data in the bubble. You can view all those pieces of information. And then recently, something that you probably are not aware of, we added a very extensive capability to annotate documents all within the bubble.
Okay, because that's what I was going to ask you. Because you mentioned it's more than data. It's also applications. And I want to know what that actually means, because if my applications aren't – so you're sort of building your own apps or licensing or whatever to build into your bubble. So you're basically giving your bubble more functionality on – can I say iOS and Android? Is that the two platforms?
That's fair.
And so you have your own licensed or built, whatever, the secure, you know, tunneling for the web browser, and then you mentioned annotating. So this is what, like, you recognize the Word docs and stuff? Or
So a slightly different concept here, because in apps, we want to be very careful. We don't want to get into productivity app business.
Right.
Because we are a management. Again, our whole premise and tenets is we want to stay out of productivity apps, and we want to let you use the best apps possible. So the Mocha 5 container that we have on the Mocha 5 application that is there on an iPad or on a tablet, what it allows you to do is built in, if you are completely locked down, then built into it, you have the ability to view all kinds of data. That's all built into the bubble. And you can interact with that data in terms of annotation. But let us say now you've got an enterprise app that is sitting outside somewhere that is deployed to these tablets, and you want the data to be interpreted in that app. then we have this concept called whitelisting, where you can actually select certain enterprise apps and say, you know what, this is an enterprise app, you can trust that app. Go ahead and share your data
on iOS.
On iOS.
So you sort of, it's like a custom, like
not
open
in a container, but actually installed on the device. Right?
That's correct. That's,
now, so this is where, when we learned about this feature last VMworld, I think it was, where,
yep.
Where I noticed especially that this is something a lot different than how a lot of other enterprise mobility management solutions are doing this. So that those other applications that you can whitelist, those are anybody's other applications, public applications, any source, correct?
That is correct.
And so whereas the way all these other solutions are doing this whitelisting is that other application has to be also one of your corporate applications that's produced with all the same mobile application management hooks or produced you know, using an app wrapping tool or something like this. But this is completely different because your whitelisting capability extends to any application.
That is right. And Jack, from an evolution perspective, you'll continue to see us add more and more capabilities here. But what you want is, with IT always, you want knobs that you can turn and you can decide how secure or how open you want these containers to be, right? So you can pick and choose the applications you trust right now to share. But we also have the core container also has APIs that we are exposing. So if you are trying to build an in-house corporate app, then you can absolutely hook into those APIs also. So the idea is to give you multiple mechanisms to be able to integrate into the Mocha 5 management infrastructure. We know one size is not going to fit all. And important distinction, we are, unlike some other players here in the space, we are not trying to get into the productivity app business. We are saying, look, you will have your data, you will have your data sources, and you will have your applications. And over time, you will see more and more capability coming from us in this area that allows you to package all that up into this bubble. So when an employee joins the company, you deploy Mocha 5. When they leave the company, the only thing that you remove is Mocha 5. And this is very important because just again, last week, we were on calls and I've been hearing some stories where they deployed, a customer actually had deployed MDM solutions. And then one of their employees came back and said, you know what, I can't use my GPS. Like, what? We do nothing with GPS. You should be fine. And the problem was that with the MDM solution, every 5 minutes or 10 minutes, the thing locks up. So this guy puts the GPS on, puts it in the car, and then the device is inactive for 5 minutes, and suddenly it locks up.
So this is definitely, well, first of all, Jack, I mean, this would put Mocha 5 like in the MAM vendor space, right? Like they're on your radar now, I guess. Is your kind of
yeah, definitely. And you know, we say that the core place to start is with the file syncing. You know, no matter what the state of the device is, if you have a file syncing application on that device, even if you lock it down completely, it makes the device. If you lock down the file syncing app, regardless of what's going on the device, you still have, you know, a lot more functionality there.
Yeah, and I think that, Jack, that's why we kind of have used that as a linchpin, and I'm hoping. It's hard to, with these acronyms, there are so many acronyms, Brian. I mean, you know it's being made up by the minute. But our goal is really to transcend all devices, to say it doesn't matter whether. And so the data, when it gets synced to the desktop, it is secured by our desktop bubble.
Yeah.
When it is synced to the tablet, it is secured by our
tablet.
And
you could
bubble.
Argue the same thing, that your bubble has these other applications that actually transact on the data and
that
work with
correct.
It, and that's the same thing that's happening on the phones.
That is
so
correct.
You don't need to get into the MDM space, right? Or do
we
you?
Don't. We don't. In fact, I was looking, it's interesting, I was telling somebody when I look at the feature list, there are about 500 features, right?
For MDM?
MDM,
yeah.
I would say because of our approach, and again, in thinking about manage what matters, 300 of those are irrelevant, right? I'm not trying to control your device lock permission. I'm only trying to control the lock permissions for Mocha 5 app.
And which you can do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we can do, which we can connect to your Active Directory authentication.
And
we
if
can...
your app has all the data, so like, fine, the user uses I don't know, like whatever, like their QuickOffice or whatever, which they can download and they can use QuickOffice without having, like, you know, in an unlocked way, let's say. But if QuickOffice, if the IP of the data that the user needs is inside Mocha 5, then they still have to log into the Mocha 5 app to unlock that.
That's correct.
To get the data that QuickOffice can use.
That is correct.
How does that work with, can people break data out of Mocha 5? Like if I open in, so you can specify that when you like are whitelisting applications, I guess that means the open in, you're controlling what shows up on open in
exactly
list, right?
That's
so
exactly right.
I open in top secret Mocha 5 strategy file .docx inside QuickOffice. Now can I, from QuickOffice, sort of save that back outside of Mocha 5?
You can. So that is why that open in is a very, very contained set.
Right.
And what our customers are doing is they are, what we are saying is you have to trust the apps in order to do that transaction. And so that open in is what you control, and the entire container has about 30 plus policies.
Can I do these open in on a file or folder or container basis? Like, so I can say that only things from this folder you can open in, but things from this folder you can't open in?
That is a very interesting concept. No, today we don't have that granularity in terms of a folder or a file basis. But I mean, that's something we should probably consider. Look at a few people.
1% commission. I don't know how to do that. I just think it'd be cool. But maybe it wouldn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter. But I could conceptually see that. Like, yeah, you would want to say that, like, here's our financial. Like, it's the same with TechTarget. Like, we have our folder of, like, our finance data. And it'd be great to say you can't open that in anything.
Yeah.
But the one that has, like, logos, I mean, go nuts, you know?
Yeah. And because we aggregate across multiple stores, you can use them also as a way to separate secure versus less secure, right? If you don't care about a document much, put it in the cloud store.
Yeah.
If you care about a document a lot, lock it down in your SharePoint or lock it down in your Windows file share.
I kind of want this at TechTarget. How much does this cost?
So we have two different prices for the desktop container. It is $150 per user per year. And for the iPad container or the tablet container, it is $50 per user per year.
And can you buy them together in a bundle, or is it just $200 per user per year?
We are working on some bundles, but right now it's $200 per user. But yeah.
And it's something that TechTarget and a lot of companies could implement too. I mean, if you think about it, there's two different classes of what I want to call like mobile information solutions. There's companies that think about switching to Dropbox or something, but that requires forklifting all of your data into Dropbox and then dealing with all the links and all the paths and all the drives and all that stuff. And then there's solutions like this that allow you to leverage what you currently have. And add to that the new cloud stuff, the new mobile stuff, and this way you get the best of both worlds. You don't have to forklift everything you've done for the last 20 years into some new new format that nobody knows how to use.
Right. Well, that's a point that that we've been trying to make for a long time, is that mobile access, mobile file syncing, and cloud storage are two completely unrelated subjects.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, because you can have all the most – right, because people are like,
exactly
no,
right.
I don't want to do that. I don't trust the cloud. We're like, we're not – who said cloud here?
That's exactly right.
Synchronize your data.
And so that's a beautiful point, because a lot of times people munch those two facts. It's like, okay, if I have to sync, I have to have one cloud repository, and that is not necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You can have multiple sources of information, and it's pretty much any large organization you go to, they'll never, ever be able to consolidate all the relevant data in one place.
Right? Well, we're the same way. We have this intranet, and we also have SharePoint, and we have file shares, and all the billions of My Docs that are everywhere. And there's a bunch of people who use Box, a bunch of us use Dropbox.
Yeah.
And we're only 600 and something employees.
So imagine now you can go to your Mocha 5 app, and when you're searching a doc, you don't have to worry. Did I put it in SharePoint? Did I put it in my desktop? I just search for a document, and wow.
Does the search – right. Yeah. Does the – And by the way, what's the Mocha 5 Data Sync app? What's that called?
So we just call it the Mocha 5 app. It's called – the container is called the Live Data Container, just like we have the Live PC.
Okay, so for the Live Data – so the Live Data option is $50.
Yes.
And even if I'm using that on like Windows PCs and stuff, that's covered in the $50.
It is covered. Yeah. So we are – all the features are included in these endpoint prices.
Okay, yeah.
So there is no – we're not like
– Platinum and all that.
Yeah. No.
So if I wanted to use the Live Data solution, I mean, I just drop the Mocha 5. There's some little like Windows agent thing I put on here and can point it to, or my admins can push it out and just say, like, point it to My Docs. And then my personal My Docs is then sort of trickled
on – right. onto your tablets. Yes.
Yeah, and then I see my docs everywhere. Do I have the option? This is my biggest pet peeve with Dropbox, is you have to tell Dropbox in advance if you want to download stuff to your tablet. Right. So like if you want to, you have Dropbox on your tablet and then you want to use it offline, which I guess kind of makes sense because
of the bandwidth.
Yeah. And like the amount of storage you have on the tablet.
So we have two modes. By default, we do want to sip the bandwidth. Right. You don't want to be careful. And so it'll only when you press on a document will it download. But you can also cache it. So you can say like my sales folder, sales toolkit is something that I always need. I always cache it. So just a long press cache, done. And Mocha5 will remember that.
I'm serious about TechTarget for this because, so, okay, let's say TechTarget buys this. You know, none of us in this room are in any way affiliated with TechTarget's IT. And based on previous statements, they probably don't like a lot what we say. But that said, if I'm trying to sell this thing, so all they're going to do, like they're going to get a virtual appliance that's like the agent gateway kind of thing, right?
Yes.
And then that's where they like there's an admin thing there, and they plug that into our SharePoint and our existing Windows file shares and all that kind of stuff.
Usually we have two components in most organizations, one that sits in the DMZ, and then the Mocha 5 management server, since it talks to the Active Directory, all sits inside your network.
Right, right.
So those are the two components, and that separation is required by a lot of organizations.
Yeah, and the DMZ, right? So and we give it a name like, you know, data.techtarget.com or whatever, and then users just know they type that in, and then the user can download the agent or from the iOS App Store or Android, or we can push it out for Windows and Mac and everything.
And by the way, Android is under works.
Okay, so it's iOS now, Android is under – what's the ETA for Android?
I'm hoping very, very soon.
that's cool. Okay, so in the, so what's next? I like this kind of direction, and this is also compatible. Like if someone wants – because you could look at MDM is like the mobile version of the bare metal solution. So if a company wants MDM – then they can buy, like for the devices that they own, then they can buy MDM, and nothing about that breaks what you're doing.
No, it doesn't. Though I think of MDM maybe slightly different. I mean, I think rather than MDM as a bare metal version of our solution, MDM is more like the SCCM of mobile devices, right? It's an agent.
It's the domain join, as I say.
it's the agent that is sitting on your endpoint, very much like SCCM is an agent that is sitting at your endpoint, versus one of the key value propositions. We do not sit inside the container we manage. So let us say in a desktop scenario, if the desktop gets destroyed, and if in an agent-based solution, your agent is also destroyed. Since we sit outside the desktop we manage, because the virtual, we encapsulate the entire desktop in a virtual bubble, I can always get back to pristine state.
Right, so your agent is not within your desktop.
That is correct.
Right, so I guess there's not... Right, like you might have some drivers in there, but your actual management agent is not within
your
image.
Is not within. And so that is right, that out-of-band management is a very key concept, and that comes because we are bubble wrapping or we have got a container. So whether it's a bare metal or a type 2, the ability to recover is a key value prop that we get out of that.
So, okay. So
I had a question that I wanted to go back to. You mentioned with the Mocha 5 mobile app, of course, there's the whitelisting capabilities to control its interaction with other applications. But you also mentioned some APIs that you're developing.
Yes.
That we could use to create applications that can interact with that.
Yes.
So does that mean that you're doing mobile application management now?
Well, if that's the acronym, then yes. Again, as I said, there's an alphabet. We are probably – I've also heard another acronym called – mobile information management. We are probably doing that also. But again, we will do in the container, our whole concept again, we'll stay true to our container. In the container, we will offer whatever capabilities are needed for the corporation to deliver a secure corporate experience.
And I mean, where you're going, Jack. Oh, sorry about that.
So I want to build an app that interacts with the Mocha 5 app and, Can I? What are in those APIs for me to use? And can I manage that app that I build in any way through Mocha 5 yet?
Yes. So the APIs would give you access to, and what we are working on, that is what is keys. You guys understand the management framework we already have, right? The policies we have, mm-hmm. And so the APIs essentially are giving you extension. Mm-hmm. All those policies, and these are pretty diverse set of policies.
Does that mean, so we can go two ways. Does that mean, let's say Evernote decides to make the Mocha 5 data live live data integrated version. That means that the Mocha 5 management console, now I can control sort of what the user is doing within within Evernote or whatever, right? Is it kind of that direction, or is it more to allow like a tighter connection between the two for like, so if I want to make it so that a user can't leak data, like in my QuickOffice example, and can't copy and then save, can I make it so QuickOffice ties in and
yeah. I think the second scenario is more where our focus and concentration is. Really, how do you containerize it so that data leakage doesn't happen? Because that's what mostly you want, right? You still want the flexibility of the app and so on. And that is where a lot of our policies and are designed, and all the mobile policies are all really focused around that space.
So what's next from the Mocha 5 standpoint? I mean, you know, we're looking at, I got the idea that sort of, The data is the thread kind of through this thing.
Yes.
It's going onto different platforms, then hooking into applications and that sort of thing. Is there, I mean, there's a long runway for that, but I mean, can you talk about what these next steps are for Mocha 5?
Absolutely. So you'll continue to see the data thread, and that's kind of the link, Ryan, as you put it, across all the, it keeps the entire suite together. And I think with this, really, we are the only solution that can transcend all these devices and all these platforms and all these ownership models, right? And going, you will see more on the mobile side because that is where we are seeing a lot of momentum build up. We've got a fairly full-fledged solution on the desktop side. We are, from a company perspective, we have really added a lot of horsepower to the company. So recently we hired a new CEO.
Oh, yeah, that's right, which I saw on the website, and his name is...
Dave Robbins.
Dave, what's his story?
So his story is very interesting. He, you know, he built a little company called Big Fix.
Oh, right.
So based in Berkeley, and really took it, ran with it, and built it into quite a powerhouse.
Right, and until IBM destroyed it.
Until IBM picked it up.
So
when he came up free, Mocha 5, we were kind of looking for a CEO, and this was just a perfect fit. I mean, I couldn't really imagine a better fit.
Yeah.
It's the management space, the cultural fit is also fantastic, you know, the startup feel, and just saying, hey, we will solve whatever problems are there to solve. We can run fast. And he's bringing with him the ability to build a very agile culture. And we're also adding more horsepower. You'll see more marketing people joining.
Is he going to do the cool marketing? Like, remember the Tomb Raider New York Times ad?
Hellboy.
Yeah, that was a Big Fix, wasn't it, that did that?
That is
yeah.
right. So we yeah. are bringing that same marketing person also on, Dave Applebaum. So
oh, nice.
Very, very excited. So you'll see a lot of energy from us. You know, we are just adding a lot more focus and a lot more horsepower behind this. And so that is going to take our core business and really put it through channel, add direct sales, get in face of customers and say, guys, you have to use this. This is solving a very important problem. And then on the innovation side, you'll see a lot from us on the mobile side, definitely more around the app, more around data synchronization and manipulation. But what we will stay true to, and you won't see us getting into, is not getting into the management of the underlying device. What we'll stay true to is we'll remain device independent. We will always provide an online, offline rich experience. And we'll always allow you to manage centrally.
So you think you will not be buying an MDM vendor?
Okay, you're going to quote me at some time, but I don't think so.
You're quoting yourself. This is live. Now, yeah, because
so.
We've had a lot of conversations. This all comes from Jack, right, about how really MAM is sort of the quote-unquote better way to do things, a more future-proof way. And we've had that conversation like with Citrix and stuff like that, and then they go out and buy an MDM vendor. Sometimes people want that. But
I'm in violent agreement with that, so no.
So this is good, and I'll tell you, and I'm saying this not just because you're sitting here. We have wondered about Mocha 5, you know, once – RingCube was bought, once Wenovo was bought. Not that Mocha 5 and Wenovo and RingCube were all exact competitors, but they were all sort of in the client management, sort of Windows management space. And it's like, well, now what for Mocha 5? And But this the idea of managing the data and as the common thread, I mean, I think it really pulls it in, because this kind of fits into my master vision, where the Windows desktop is more of just a container for existing Windows applications. And it's not about Windows desktops per se. It's and you know, this ties in, I guess, with what Tim Mangan says about it's all about the data.
That is right.
That's cool. And actually, it's one of the questions. So tying all this together, is this even from the management console standpoint? Like, this is one
management console. Brian joins the company. You go to Active Directory, look at Brian's profile. You provision a live PC on his personal Mac, a bare metal on his corporate desktop, and a live data container on his iPad or iPhone. And then when you leave the company, they click a button and all these bubbles are wiped. So the notion of very, very – I'm glad you brought that up, because I think – because these spaces are thought of as separate spaces. If you look at what Citrix has, it has 10 consoles, 25 interfaces and so on.
Yeah, because they've bought 25 companies.
And it takes time to – I mean, the vision is fair, but I mean, really takes time to integrate. For us, it is one console connected to your Active Directory and connected to your enterprise infrastructure, and you're managing, again, the user experience across however many devices a user may have.
Another question, and this is kind of jumping around a little bit in the chat room, is around how the bare metal works technically. We touched on that earlier with the idea of, like, it doesn't matter so much, but I believe it is, like, technically it's a Linux base on Type 2.
That is exactly right. It is a very thin, hardened Linux. We are using Ubuntu. And that forms the foundation, and that gives us the broad HCL. Mm-hmm. And then it has got the Type 2. And so
what
a lot
is the Type 2? Is it like VirtualBox or KVM? Or
it's VMware.
Oh, is that a license? Is that the player? Or do you have a license agreement with them?
We have a license agreement. And so that is where our bare metal is. And the key thing is, a lot of the innovation and the technology has been itself updating. The whole stack is updated. So when I send an update to a bare metal release, the underlying bits as well as the virtual machine on top, all of them would get can be updated. Every bit that is laid down is managed by you.
Right.
And so, again, back to this, one of the big deals that we did with Lenovo was Shengli Oil Fields. Distributed computers, all kinds of crazy data on those, right? You know, you can imagine how sensitive that data is about oil fields and so on. And where, what are the prime sites and so on, geodata. They were trying to manage that information, tough time. Now what they're doing is simply bare metaling those endpoints. They're never going to be able to do VDI with that bandwidth type of requirements in the distributed environment.
Well, you don't have to sell me on that concept. When you talk about bare metal, this is where Jesus and Intel kind of come in, because I'm assuming that is there a vPro play with this? Is this something where if you're using like vPro, for example, you can turn on extra security or something?
There's
like that?
There's no specific vPro tie for the features that are specific to vPro, but what they do is they take advantage of the integrated graphics capabilities in order to speed up their startup of the VM, right? So in that sense, they do use Intel technologies, but non-specific to vPro.
And
vPro, usually where we find helps is just performance, right? Or just tends to be much higher performance and
because they don't put it on the lower end. There's no vPro Atom, right?
The top end.
The top end processors, and then the integrated graphics card. I mean, when you're trying to boot up, every second that you can shave off is really good. And so that integrated graphics card integration helps us a lot.
I'm curious, Pranima, what about Windows 8 support on your platforms?
We support Windows 8. So when Windows 8 was announced, in fact, one of the large companies, it's a Taco, that we work with, they had these Windows 8 Ultrabooks, and the day it was GA, we said go ahead and put it in. So they just took their existing Windows 7 image, and then they are using it on top of Windows 8. So Windows 8 host was supported right at the get-go. Okay. Now we are also working on Windows 8 guest.
So you're working on that now.
Yes,
okay.
And it should be out soon.
Okay, excellent.
Does any customers want that?
No.
That's a great segue.
Not yet.
So, historically, we've seen that, COIT is all about really bring your own Apple device.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the only ones that are really differentiated from the, Windows 7 or Windows XP PCs that the corporations gave you. But if you look at the sort of innovation that's going on now, you have the Lenovo ThinkPad 2 tablet, you have the convertibles, you have the detachables, You know, you have touch, you know, in many of these platforms, right? We've seen unprecedented level of innovation coming from these OEMs now. That's never been there before. So now we have a great opportunity. So now there is the great opportunity to widen that gap between what IT provides you in terms of a corporate PC or corporate desktop, you know, even if it's Windows 7, and what users are using in their personal lives. They're going to be using Windows 8, touch-based Ultrabooks, convertibles, detachables, and Macs, and iPads, and Lenovo ThinkPads, and HP ElitePad tablets.
Yes.
So these users, they're going to be expecting the same sort of experience at work that they have in their personal lives, right? That's what, you know, consumerization is all about. So even though corporations may not be looking at Windows 8 seriously yet because they just got done with the Windows 7 deployments, you know, users are going to be saying, hey, I want to use my Windows 8 device in the corporation. It's a lot different than what you're giving me. So I think corporations have to pay a lot of attention and actually provide a similar experience at work than, you know, what users
happening.
Are used to.
It's happening. I mean, Ultrabooks, again, this company that I was talking about, the day we announced the GA, they dropped it onto those Ultrabooks. And so, interestingly, I think the question difference was not whether Windows 8 is coming in. They are coming in mostly as a choose-your-own-device or
exactly.
bring
yeah.
your own device, as opposed to becoming the gold standard.
Because you can't buy a Windows 7 anymore if you go to Best Buy, right?
So, that's right.
Yeah.
And so we are seeing definitely almost every conversation that I have about choose-your-own-device or bring-your-own-device has Windows 8 as part
yeah.
of it. And that's kind of given.
So you got to support Windows 7. Wait, there's no live tiles in Windows 7. If Windows 8, like if I have this thing, can you see on the radio what I'm holding up here? oh, it just rotated. Oh, good for you. I finally worked that out. I've got my Lenovo ThinkPad Tablet 2, and so it's running Windows 8. But I guess if I have – probably this would come in via BYO, so probably it's not a Mocha 5 bare metal. Although I guess that one thing you have to be thinking about is the Ubuntu bare metal touch support, so you can actually have like touch support in your guest VMs. But secondly, I know Windows 7 has basic touch support, but your Windows 8 inside of VM is going to have to support the tile world and the desktop mode, and it's going to have to support like rotation and like knowing when the user flips back and forth and everything. Because ideally, if I hit this home button on here, I need to have my tablet's buttons and my Mocha 5 buttons on here at the same time.
Yeah. So those are things that we have to look into. The interesting thing is where we have seen right now the initial demand for Windows 8 in the guest, not in the host,
yeah.
is primarily for dev type
testing,
of work,
yeah.
dev
yeah.
and testing. So just sanity checking things. And so definitely we're watching this closely and we're working on this closely, as you know. I mean, our team, John
yeah.
and team
yeah.
always have eyes
yeah.
on all these things. So we're watching this carefully. I would say Windows 8 definitely is coming up in every conversation
yeah.
in the BYO and you know, pick your own type of realm.
It is interesting, and this is something that conversation Jack and I were having earlier. So I got this thing. We'll take a picture. Hey, Justin, you're still out there? Can you come and take a picture of this? This thing, if here you can get all of us. Quick, everyone, look important.
I think.
But if I'm holding this tablet in my hand. It's an x86. I mean, it's an x86 in Atom, but it's still, you know, 1.7 gigahertz dual core, 4 threads.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah, and like it's SSD, you know, and Jack, this it's smaller than an iPad. I mean, it's thinner. Like it's the same thing.
Well, it's narrower and longer.
But it's okay. It's
different form factor.
It's an iPad. Let's call it an iPad. Like this is not like a thick laptop with no keyboard. This is like a half inch.
It's a real tablet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a real tablet.
This is not. What's that thing that you used to record the classes?
Oh, my HP TC 1100. The HP Slate thing back in the old days. But this is the. And by the way, this one to the people. Sorry, I got to hang around, turn around because I'm using my tablet in my hand and I can't figure out how to get back to the chat window on this. No. How do you alt tab on this if I don't have the keyboard connected?
Scroll from the left.
From the left. Whoops. Shoom. Look at that. That's cool. All right, here we go. And here's the chat window. So the point that Jack was making earlier, you know, so here we are making fun of Windows RT because please. If I have a tablet that can't run Windows apps, I'm buying an iPad. But the x86-based tablets seem cool because, like as Jack pointed out, like as much as we make fun of like the Surface Pro, for example, because it has laptop-type specifications, like 3.5 hours of battery life, and it's like heavier and that kind of stuff. This thing is the same size as an iPad, but runs every existing Windows application on the planet, assuming like I don't mean AutoCAD, but and it's funny because if this thing. What did you say, Jack?
I said throw away all your preconceived notions of the last year and a half that we've been talking about Windows 8. I hand you this tablet and say, hey, this is like an iPad, but it runs full Windows apps locally. You'd be pretty impressed.
Yeah, people would freak out at how amazing this is. And so my point is, like, I'm very much like all about bashing Microsoft, and I have my reasons. But this thing I could see like legitimately people actually wanting to use. And it has a little bit of a toy feel to it, but so does my iPad. And so I don't know if I want to – like replacing my laptop with this, I'm now holding up two pieces, the Bluetooth keyboard case separate from the – replacing my laptop, I'm not sure. Replacing my iPad, though, I mean I got 10 hours on this. I got 10 hours on the iPad. You know, this thing runs iTunes, right? Like I could see that.
But it needs the other apps. It needs to run Pinball Arcade. And
which it can because isn't there a Windows desktop version of that app?
I suppose, but do you want to use a desktop version of that app on a tablet?
Yeah,
the app. What do I care?
The desktop version is
the same problems.
If it's touch enabled,
it's gonna have. But the touch enabled versions are going to be the Tile World versions.
They don't have to be because you can touch it because maybe they don't want to distribute it via Microsoft Store, so they touch enable the apps that you download manually.
But that's fine. But in terms of other applications, especially business applications that run in desktop land, you still have the same. You might as well deploy it with RDP. It's still the same problems.
Well, but I can have it running locally, and I can have good graphics, and I can use it on the airplane and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and it still has a keyboard,
fat
by the way,
and a soft keyboard.
This is a hard keyboard.
But I would call that the keyboard in the loosest sense of the terms. Like, I mean, what the heck is that little fold out thing? And it doesn't you. Pick it up and you pick up the top and the keyboard doesn't come with it.
It is crazy that the keyboard is like a Bluetooth keyboard and so it's like it doesn't know when you disconnect them. So I have the tablet in my hand and the keyboard's like in the kitchen and I'm trying to type and it's like
the
not showing the virtual
active.
Keyboard because it's like you already have a keyboard. But my point is I've tested a lot of shit of crap devices in the past year. A lot of them from different vendors, different OSs, different chips, different architectures. This thing, when I was trying to think of this as a laptop replacement, I was angry at it. As soon as I started thinking this as a tablet replacement, now we got something. It's got 4G in here. Like now I can see this. So all this is that I was talking about because I was always like, will any end user ever in their right mind bring in a non-iPad tablet into the work world? I could actually see it with this thing. And so this is really, really fascinating to me.
And it's just the beginning. Nice. I mean, you know, so right now, you know, most of the ultrabooks and tablets, you know, the main difference is that now they're touch-enabled. But, you know, in the next year or two, you're going to see a lot more innovation coming from these OEMs like 3D cameras, Dolore mics. So we're going to bring user experiences to whole new levels.
And so that's exciting. Going back to what Mocha 5 is doing, so if you can put – it's nice because if I have this device now that is a you know touch tablet form factor, but it was running x86 version of Windows, then I've got the option to if I want to own this thing, you know, theoretically in some future time I could bare metal it. I can't imagine people want to do that, but if I want to have this as my own thing with a live PC on it, and hopefully in the live PC when Windows 8 supports the guest will support, I'm assuming rotation and
rotation
tile world
and
all that kind of stuff, yeah. And if not, if I want to still have, you know, just
your
my
desktop.
Regular, yeah. And because this is x86 Windows and not the shitware Windows, then I can have file sync and I can have all my data and all that sort of stuff.
So a lot of these ultrabooks with these interesting form factors, I'm seeing, as you said, Jesus, a lot of innovation happening there. And I think a lot of innovation is happening with the x86 version of the Windows. And that is where we'll watch it very carefully.
You know, and I just realized this thing has a stylus. I haven't used this one since I got
and it.
It
works really
and
well. You can scribble and do cursive and everything. It'll recognize your handwriting.
I can forget that I had this thing. So, yeah, you know what? Literally, my mind has changed. before the show came on, and Praneem, we got here like 15 minutes early, and we spent about, you know, 15 of the 15 minutes kind of like bitching trying about how crappy this thing was. Yeah. But like I said, it's not a laptop. It's a tablet.
Let's lock your iPad in the office over the weekend and see how you feel on Monday. Okay.
Is there private browsing on this thing?
You know, one other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, the Windows App Store is very, very new. So, you know, we do need to give it time for it to populate with all the good apps. You know, so, you know, that innovation is happening too.
But what's nice is I don't need apps on here. So, okay,
But if you want, like, the cool tile experience and everything.
I got Netflix. The office piece is a big deal.
I have now, of course, by the way, since this is x86 Office, it doesn't come with Office. So I guess I have to go to our IT guy and, like, get an Office license. Maybe I'll just expense. What's Office 365 cost? Like $15 a month or something?
Yeah, 365 is. We've been getting very.
And that
good
comes
reviews.
With download. Like it comes with
SkyDrive and
local
all that
version,
stuff.
Right? Yeah. Can you hook
me? I don't care at all if it runs Netflix, though. Okay, so if you come back and be like, "Hey, this tablet works with Netflix," I don't give a shit.
But I run Netflix
every
all the time.
Tablet, but we're talking about. We're not talking about using this as a consumer device. We're talking about using business applications on it. So I'm sure it works just fine to run Netflix. There's no doubt about that. But talk about let's use Office on there, okay? Get Office and put it into touch mode. Good luck with that.
But I don't need – but I've got a keyboard. So the thing is like – and that's the thing too. It's like it's – so I can't run Office.
But then it's not a tablet.
I can't run Office on my iPad.
But then it's not a tablet.
Well, but
if you're using a keyboard with Office, then you're not using it as a tablet.
The point is – okay, so when I'm on the bus, although I made a sweeping declaration a few months ago that I'm only riding my bicycle everywhere, which is why I didn't want to ride – I rode it in the rain today, but I did not want to bring in my real laptop, so I brought this thing. But so I couldn't get Office – like I can't get real Office on an iPad. So if I want like a touch-based version of like half-assed Office, I'm sure that exists for Windows as well. But I also have the option for full Office. So like when I get that, you know, email from Don with the contract markup, then I can view it on here even if it's not the
and
best
you can
experience.
Edit it, right? That's the key with the Office stack.
But the fact that you're going to use that with a keyboard as a – you're going to use it as a laptop to do desktop-based applications. Well, no shit, it's going to work. Of course it's going to be fine. But you're using it as a laptop and not a tablet. So this device is not solving anything. It's just letting you run Windows 8 applications on a tablet, which is fine. Like, I'll give you that. That'll work.
Wait, isn't that solving it?
What's that?
But isn't that the whole point?
Well, but you don't want to carry around the keyboard all the time. Like you've gone on record
True.
Saying this stuff before.
Yeah. I won't carry it here. Jack, you take the keyboard.
But then it turns into a tablet. So now try using the same applications with a keyboard, without the keyboard. And you're going to have a hard time. And I'm not talking about Netflix.
So I think Brian's taken the challenge.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I can use touch-based stuff when it's there. But if there's always been times on my iPad where if I had real Office every once in a while, it's not the primary word processor I'm using the iPad or whatever, but if I had Office, it'd be nice to have like real Office for something, even if it's touch-based.
Yeah, there's no question that you'd be a lot more productive on this Lenovo tablet than you would on an iPad for business applications or for office productivity.
I'll take it. I'll take that. I will give you my iPad and to borrow. We have a safe at the office though, right, that we use as a prop. So let's put the iPad. I'll bring it in tomorrow. You can put the iPad in the safe, like in a little ceremony, and I'll go with this thing. But the point is, though, is like Praneema, a month ago, if you would have told me that, oh, yeah, BYO is interesting because people are bringing in their own Windows machines and this kind of stuff, because I would probably say, oh, well, you know, the Mocha 5 Live PC fails because you need an x86 processor, right? So you can work on Mac laptops, you can't work on iPads and Androids and that kind of stuff.
But I have other containers for those.
Yeah, there you go. true. But even here,
My claim would be you don't want a desktop on those devices. We give you something that is more fit for purpose type of thing.
So
as opposed to force fitting a same function across all devices. Now this. Anyway, I'm pointing to something that nobody else can see. The laptop tablet that Brian is holding is actually a very interesting one, right? It doesn't fit into our standard iPad phone type of model. It doesn't fit into the desktop model.
Yeah.
And there are multiple approaches. You could go and put our regular live PC on it since it's an x86 device. I haven't seen too many people do that. We have seen it with Ultrabooks.
It's still an Atom though, so who knows? I don't know how much I would like that.
VTX support.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like I, in this case, probably for 90% of the people who would want to be using this, they just use the live data,
yes,
not the live
the
PC.
Container is what would was what we would focus on. Yeah.
So is there a, an AppX Tile World Mocha 5 app?
No. Not yet.
Okay.
That's the right answer.
I wonder, I guess.
Not yet.
Yeah, Tile World is easy enough. And I guess when you make the Tile World app, you get the phone. I don't know how that works. If Windows Phone 8 and Windows Tile World 8 are the same apps, I don't know.
They're very, very close. There's small differences in the APIs, but in general, they mostly have the common code base.
And this is an old device, by the way. This is the old, like, Clover
Trail. Clover Trail. Well, it's the current Atom.
Yeah. But, like, there's all this stuff that's announced at CES is that's coming out in, like, the March, April time frame
Bay Trail.
Right. And that's the, like, also
that has
more
a bunch
power.
Of other features. Yeah. Security features, management features.
Hey, if I use this thing for a month, you keep me in mind when Bay Trail comes out.
We'll have to also see what happens with the Office on iPad, which I keep hearing threats and rumors about it. But
I think Ballmer just said that, hey, why do you need Office on iPad? You have Office web apps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ballmer's airplanes all have 4G connections, I guess. So I don't know if anyone has any other questions. Let me look around at they're talking about other stuff on there. Okay, so I don't know, Jesus or Pranima, I don't know if you have anything else to add right now, but I don't know. I feel good.
Well, you know, I started a comment saying that, with the level of innovation that we're seeing now, the consumerization problem is just going to exacerbate because we have, not just people not just wanting to bring in their Apple devices, but also potentially the Windows 8 devices, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So IT is going to be faced with a decision. Say, well, I can try to support these BYO devices on the user's terms, or I can provide them, my own devices that provide similar experiences, but provision them with manageability and security features and manage them on my own terms, right? So I think in that sense, Windows 8 is going to be a big force, can be a big force in the enterprise. Because even though there may not be, like Gabe Knuth wrote in his recent articles, there may not be a compelling technical reason why go to Windows 8 if you get a lot of benefits from Windows 7, but there's also no reason why you shouldn't go to Windows 8, right? Because it is compatible with all your Windows 7 applications. You do manage it with all the same infrastructure. Right,
but how about teaching people how to?
Yeah, aside from
the users are going to lose all productivity.
Remember, these users are using these things in their personal lives.
Will be using these things.
It's not going to be brand new to this. It's not going to be like, I've never seen a Windows 8 desktop. Well, I just bought one in Best Buy. Right, so you can either support
Who just bought one in Best Buy?
Well, see, that's not what I hear, though. So what I hear from people that I talk to, and I just had lunch with a guy yesterday that was talking about this, and he was saying that this is actually worse for them than the problem was from migrating from Office 2003 to Office 2007. And so their tack that they're going to take here is to just wait it out until Windows 9 comes out.
My point would be, who cares? These devices will come in and they can keep their that's where I guess I'm pitching now for the Mocha 5 value prop, which is okay.
You've got
your Windows 7 image, keep there. You keep with that image as long as you want, but that doesn't have to prevent you from leveraging innovation. The device innovation will happen. It happens at a very rapid pace. Now you're no longer tethered to OS is not tethered to the device innovation. You can get whatever you want. You get your Mac, you get your Ultrabook, you get your Fix, and then you
if the user wants to bring in a Windows 8 device, but the enterprises are still not deploying Windows 8.
That is fair. But just my point was they don't have to necessarily, in order to leverage these devices, they don't have to make the shift for the enterprise image to become Windows 8.
I'm fine with that.
There's a funny joke in here somewhere about, like, what's the best way to support Windows 8 devices in the enterprise? Put a Type 2 hypervisor that completely paints 7. Over it with Windows 7.
That's the MedV approach, too, right? Supporting XP apps in Windows 7.
Yeah. XP mode, right.
You mean the crippled MedV.
We'll be able to look at Intel IT as one of the first use cases for this because we are aggressively rolling out Windows 8 within Intel.
Yeah, and but that's because you've hitched your wagon to Microsoft, so of course you are. Yeah.
We'll see.
Wait, we'll see if it's successful or we'll see if that wagon stays hitched to Microsoft.
No, we'll see when it is successful.
Yeah. And you guys are using the PYO, right? Like purchase, no, what do you call it?
PYO.
Pick your own. Yeah, there's some PYO.
Because I know like every
Intel. There's Lenovo, HP, Dell, and then each of the sales teams have their own, PCs from the vendors.
I mean, there's
support,
a lot of innovation happening at Intel IT. We're working very closely with them. Interesting use cases like, M&A happens. How do you integrate the other company? Simply drop the Mocha 5 Live PC.
Yeah.
Day one integration.
And you don't have to worry about sizing your back-end VDI servers.
Nothing. Right. Yeah. Pick your own, working on Ultrabooks, doing a BYO type of solution. So very excited about our collaboration there.
All right. Well, I think that's it for our show today. Thank you all for listening. And, of course, this recording will be available almost immediately.
Sorry to those who had internet problems. I don't know if you saw that stuff in the chat room.
Yeah.
But it'll all be here.
And thanks to Justin for making the noise stop, whatever that happened to the construction workers next door. And Jesus and Pranima, thank you so much for making the trek. You each are very far away from San Francisco. So to both of you, thanks so much for taking the time to come into our office today.
Our pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you, bro.
And all for listening. And here it is. It'll be online. And I guess that's it. So from San Francisco, Jack Madden's here. I'm Brian Madden. And this was a special edition sponsored by Mocha 5 and Intel of Brian and Gabe Live. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening.